I was meant to go to the gym today, but I persuaded myself that I was too tired to walk round the and a walk round the park would do. I also ate that extra piece of toast and I'm trying to get a flat stomach. What I need is someone with me at all times, cheering me on, a positive voice in my head, keeping me on track. Bangs Carey Campbell is a blogger about all things fitness and is head instructor at Boom Cycle. Originally from Canada, she's written a fun book that will keep you on track. It's called The Pocket Cheerleader, Your Badass Guide to Get Moving. And she's going to tell us more. Hi, Bangs. I love your name.
Thank you. Hello, hello.
Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thanks so much.
So tell us, how do we reclaim our power over our own body?
Well, I think it's about just kind of not buying into what we've been somewhat force-fed up to this point in the fitness industry. I think, I was a couch potato for many years.
And I can't believe that.
It's the truth, I tell you. and I think one of the things I found really off-putting about trying to get into fitness was all the images that you see associated with it. And especially for women at that time, we've made a bit of progress in the last decade, but at that time it was all pink and fluffy and about weight loss and
flat stomachs.
And flat stomachs.
And bronzed bodies.
Exactly. Yeah. And very much to do with body image. And also, you know, as a woman, we're allowed to get sweaty, but not too sweaty. We can work out to a point, but we don't want it to be ugly or unattractive because, you know, lest we upset the patriarchy. And so I think all of that is kind of quite a barrier to women in terms of just an entry point and getting into fitness. And so when I say that, you know, reclaim your power, just as an example, think of the amount of times you've gotten on a bus or a tube and you'll see a group of men in their dirty football kit and they're sweaty and gross. They feel no way about it at all. And so I make a point of when I've finished teaching a spin class, I'll go home and I'll wait and I'll shower at home because it's important for people to see me looking a bit sweaty and gross. You know, I'm allowed to look that way. I just did something that's really beneficial for my body. We are allowed to upset the dynamic that way. And so I think it's about reclaiming that power for yourself. Fitness does not have to be about weight loss. In fact, I'm adamant that it shouldn't be. It should be about feeling good and feeling your best self. Movement is just about making you feel good. And so I think reclaiming your power and reclaiming your body is just that. It's about finding a way to be active and a way to move that suits you and that doesn't have to fit into this stereotype of, oh, I have to buy this kind of kit and just do this kind of gentle yoga workout or, you know, whatever it may be. It's about doing what you want to do on your own terms, basically, whatever makes you happy.
Fantastic. So what should we do to get off our ass, you know?
it's a big question.
How can we persuade ourselves?
Well, I think the biggest stumbling point for most people when they go from a somewhat inactive life to wanting to make a change is we just try to do too much too soon, you know? And that's the stumbling block for a lot of people. And it's a surefire way to fail, really, is to kind of overestimate how much you'll be able to achieve in a short period of time. But we underestimate how much we can achieve over a long period of time, right? slow and steady wins the race all the time. And so it's just about easing your way into it and kind of rewiring the way that you look at it. So I talk a lot in the book about, you know, not every workout has to be like a 3-hour gym session where you're absolutely beasting it. I do this for a living. I teach spin for a living. And there's days when I don't want to do it. I'm human, you know. But on a day when I might not want to train, can I walk my dog for an hour though? Yeah, probably, you know. So I'll do that. That's my starting point. I'm still moving. It still counts. And so I think it's about just rewiring the way that you think about things a little bit. Rather than, okay, I'm not active now. I want to get active. I'm going to sign up to the gym. I'm going to go 4 times a week. I'm going to do this many classes. No, you're not. And I say that with love. You're not. That's unrealistic at the beginning. Ease your way into it. Simple things that you can do. The majority of people, if you work a 9-to-5, I will put money on the amount of people who will sit at their desk and eat their lunch.
I think that's terrible. Yeah.
Get off your ass. That's all this, you know, we love to say we don't have time. Yeah, you do. You get an hour lunch break.
1 hour.
You have 1 whole hour. Get off your ass. Go outside into nature. You're going to think clearer when you come back. You'll have that's purposeful. By sitting at your desk and staying there, you're just on autopilot and just eating
your
food.
Still and you're still at work.
Yeah, and you're not taking that time for yourself. Get off your bum. Go outside. Move. Eat in a kind of thoughtful way. And I'm not even going to get into nutrition. That's not my wheelhouse. That's a whole other thing. But just, you know, eat mindfully in terms of like, you know, leave your desk, go somewhere, purchase something and then sit and eat with friends or whatever and think about what you're doing rather than just staying at your desk and being completely mindless.
Catching up on Instagram while you eat it. Yeah.
All of that, you know. But yeah, you've got... We love to just say we don't have time to do anything. You know, if you happen to get off at a tube station that has a very long escalator, do you stand on it every day? There's an opportunity there where you could walk up those steps. And people just kind of think that's a bit off with the fairies, but all of that is movement and all of that helps you get somewhere. When I walk up the escalators, I'm puffed out.
Yeah.
And I'm a fitness instructor, you know.
I always make a point of it because Joanna Lumley... says she's never been to a gym in her life, but she always walks up the escalator.
There you go. These things, you know, just making the decision to take the stairs rather than the lift, you know, to lift a heavy box, to do, you know, all of these kind of things.
Or even do some housework. I read that women were fitter in the kind of 50s and 60s because they actually had to get on their knees and scrub.
Absolutely.
Nowadays, we just do the odd bit of vacuuming or pay a cleaner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, that. But those kind of things, all of that is movement that really counts, but we just never think about it. There's ample opportunities within our day to just build movement into it in a really natural way, which is really, when you think about it, that's all we're doing all this gym stuff for, is just to be able to do the basics better, you know? Yeah. We just want to be able to, when we're old, to be able to move better. And so why not kind of focus in on those movements that come really natural to us anyway, going upstairs, etc. And just start with those, you know. That's for me the easiest way to break it down, is to just not overload yourself with thinking you have to work out a certain way at a certain studio at a certain time. There's loads of opportunities.
And pay a fortune.
Exactly.
It's outside all the time where you can go for free.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
I love power walking. What do you think of power walking?
I love it. It's my walking is honestly my favorite thing to do. I could very rapidly turn this into a podcast about the benefits of owning a dog, but I won't. I'll refrain.
What dog have you got? Let's just do a little bit of indulgence.
We'll get it out of the way. Yeah. I've got a Boston Terrier called Biggie, and he's adorable. But the benefit.
Has he changed your life?
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. Mm. Mainly Boston Terriers are very active dogs and they need a lot of exercise. But just being able to kind of go out for a walk with him, get out into nature, put a podcast on, and just have that time to myself is transformative for me. It's a really mindful, purposeful part of my day, and I'm being active. I'll walk at least 3 to 6 miles a day with him, and it doesn't feel like it at all. If you were to say to me, do you want to go out for a 6-mile walk? I'd think you're off your rocker. I'd be like, well, not really. But doing it with the dog, I don't even see the time pass.
Also,
you know?
The lovely thing is it's social as well. You talk to other dog owners. Yeah. And you also, fell down. There's so many books in Radio Gorgeous. And also you see the world through the dog's eyes, which I really enjoy.
Same here, exactly. I was saying to a friend the other day, when my dog sniffs at absolutely everything, a twig, a lamppost, whatever, we've got to stop all the time and sniff at things. And sometimes I'll get a bit agitated and think, oh, come on, but then there's other times where I'll think, no, I'll just let him sniff at everything because it's such a good reminder
to slow down
and the curiosity that he's got about all these things. It's really fascinating actually to watch it and see it through the dog's eye. But I'm rapidly turning it into a dog's podcast. But you know, that's, if people are wondering how to get into fitness, I'll say get a dog.
Okay. Now Bangs, tell us what it feels like to be very fit.
Well, I feel like you've given me a lot of credit there. I'm not an Olympian by any means. I'll say this. I'll say I'm not the fittest person that there is. There's always more that I could be doing. But I'm at a point that I'm happy and satisfied with. So I'm going to be 39 in a couple months. I was a couch potato for pretty much the whole of my 20s, to be honest. I didn't start...
That can't be good for your body.
Not at all. Yeah. And hence why I ended up kind of getting into fitness was because I got to 29 and I was getting puffed out going up a flight of stairs, you know, at 29.
That's unbelievable.
Which is insanity. Yeah. And you just take it for granted, don't you, when you're young, that your body's just going to feel great and move and do all this forever. But without a doubt, I'm fitter now than I was at 25, which is crazy. And so I think, what does being really fit feel like? I think for me, it's more of a mindset, to be honest. It's great that, sure, I can run for a bus now without feeling like I need a quadruple bypass. You know, that's great. That's a benefit. But
and doesn't your body feel more fluid?
Completely, yeah. I feel... what it has done is reframe the way that I think about my body, which, again, going back to reclaiming your power that we were talking about
so
at the beginning.
So you like your body now.
Love my body. Mm. Love it. Mm. And that's because I think of it in terms of what it can do, you know. I'm a size 12 girl. I've got love handles. I've got cellulite. I'm jiggly. You know what I mean?
I've always been size 12 since I was 15.
Same. Yeah.
And I'm quite proud because I'm 56 and I'm still a size 12.
Yes, work it. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's not about how my body looks. What I love about my body is what it does, you know. Doesn't let me down. And I continually surprise myself sometimes if I've had, you know, a particularly tough class that I'm teaching or, you know, when your body does things that you had told yourself, there's no way I can do that.
Wow.
Which, again, was just... something that I used to tell myself
mindset.
In my 20s.
Mindset.
Completely a mindset. Yeah. I used to tell myself in my 20s all the time, I can't run. And that was the language I would use. I can't run. I'd never even tried. I'd never even tried. Honest to God. I just had made this story up and told myself I can't run. And then I just went with it. All right, cool. Well, we're not running then. Until I actually tried it and was like, oh, okay. So you just, basically you just start and then you gradually improve. As with many things in life. But I think that what being fit feels like for me, as you say, it's more of a mindset. And what I noticed as I got fitter and challenged myself in different ways, it's the mentality that comes with that that kind of permeates throughout the rest of your life, really. So
fantastic.
I'm far more confident than I used to be. I'm able to focus more because what it does for your brain, not just your body, is really important. So I'm able to focus more. I'm more determined. I'm able to stick to goals and things when I set them for myself. And I think that is what movement and being active and setting myself certain challenges has done. So especially
you've learnt discipline, haven't you?
Absolutely. Which I think without fitness, I wouldn't have been able to do that. So I think when I first got into fitness, it was running that I took to, first of all, which I think is a great gateway for a lot of people. So I ended up running a lot of half marathons. With that comes a very definite structure. You have to train in a certain way, right? And for me, I didn't realize it at the time, but my life had really been lacking that. And so once I got into this kind of, the life of a training plan, that's basically like 3 months to do a half marathon, I got into this cycle of like, okay, train for a race, do a race, sign up for another race, for that one, do that one.
But it kept you on track, literally on track.
Yeah, exactly. And just the kind of focus and determination that I got with that training kind of just seeped out into all these other parts of my life, you know. So in my career, I found that I was more focused and driven, and I kind of just started approaching everything like a training plan, you know, because it had given me this structure that I found really easy to kind of follow. And I don't mean easy physically, because obviously I was really testing myself. But that's what being fit feels like to me, is being like kind of strong and confident and determined.
And it's given you mental strength.
Absolutely.
Which is life. That's all really life's about, really, isn't
it? Yeah, completely. It's gotten me, that kind of training and discipline has gotten me through some really mentally tough moments.
Yes, and
it's
and very, emotionally tough
completely.
Moments.
Yeah. And it's very cyclical because, you know, you're going through something, you know, mentally or emotionally tough. And a great way to be able to deal with that is to work out, you know, like there's something very primal about movement, you know, and that's something that I think about a lot when I work out.
We are animals.
Completely.
And think about all animals. It's all about bodies and doing things. And,
exactly. You know. But just even, you know, when I was got in very into running, I thought, you know, cavemen and cavewomen were doing this, you know, like this is, it's who we are.
Apparently young, they've now found out that, you know, in Bronze Age and everything, that all young women before they had children always used to run with the, always used to run with the men.
Yeah, I can believe
it. And it makes sense.
Yeah,
it?
Completely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, you know,
I can see you with a spear. Fantastic. So tell us about different exercises. You've talked about running. You know, you mentioned in the book, you mentioned boxing. Then there's also classes. You do this spin at Zoom, which is obviously on a bicycle. Mm. How do we find out what we like? And are there certain body types or certain mentalities that suit different things?
So how do you find out what you like? Experimentation, you know? And again, I think that's where a lot of us stumble, because we'll tend to try one thing and say, oh, I didn't like that. Exercise isn't for me, clearly, because I didn't like this
also,
one thing.
Also, you might hurt afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Which you will. And that's a sign that, you know, you've put your body through something. And that's your body just saying, ooh, thanks for that. You've given me a bit of a wake-up call. Okay, onward, you know.
Yeah. But what if it's quite scary, isn't it? Sort of putting on your outfit and you're not feeling fantastic, and then you've got to go into a room with lots of other people, and will they judge you? You know, how do you get over that?
So I'd say a couple things. So for me, the first fitness class I took when I first got into fitness was a boxing class. And this was at a very down and dirty boxing gym in Leeds. To say no frills would be an overstatement. There was about 25 men in that class and 3 women. And one of the women was the owner of the gym. And so for someone who was just quite literally just getting off the couch, you know, I was not fit at all, to walk into that space that was just so masculine and really intimidating. And you've just basically just got to kind of say, screw it, I'm doing it. You've got to have that initial thing of like, screw it, I'm doing it. And what I will say, the great thing about a boxing class is, if you're not paying attention to what you're doing, you'll get punched in the face. So that was great about that. Nobody was watching me. And I think that's always our concern, isn't it?
Yes, like, because there's mirrors.
Yeah, I don't want people to look at me. Mm. And then, you know, I got into that room and everybody's just focused on what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, so that was really refreshing. Mm. I thought, oh, I needn't have been worried about that at all, first of all. And with love, I say, you know, don't flatter yourself, you know, like not everybody is looking at you. And I say the same thing to myself, you know, I think to myself, God, everyone's going to watch me. And then I get in there and I'm like, oh, who do I think I am? Actually, nobody cares. Everybody's just doing their own thing. Now, that being said, I think there are absolutely studios, especially in big cosmopolitan cities like London. There are absolutely studios that are kind of like status studios, you know, where people go to see and be seen. Mm-hmm. Those aren't your spaces. Mm-hmm. If that's not what you want, those aren't your spaces. You've got to try it to find that out, though, right? Mm-hmm. And that's okay if it's not your space. Boom Cycle, we're very, very inclusive. That's part of our messaging, is come one, come all. You're never going to feel judged. And that's the biggest bit of feedback we get, actually, from our community, is I felt so welcome there, you know, whereas in other studios, they have felt judged. Or so I think it really is experimentation, just trying out different places. If you don't like the vibe of the place, you are by no means obliged to go back there. It's just trying out different things till you find your thing. In the meantime, hello, YouTube, hello, various DVD workouts. If you're not confident enough yet to go to that space with someone else or go and work out with other people, that's fine. There's loads of things that you can do at home, you know. And I'm adamant that it doesn't even have to be a big structured class. If you like to just dance in your living room to Beyonce for 30 minutes, if you're doing it the way I do it, that's a workout, friend. That is a workout, you know. So again, it's just about reframing movement, right? But if you're not, I get it, because I've been there. I've been that person where it's like, oh, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of confidence to go to that first class that first time, you know, to build up the courage to do that. But gradually the confidence builds, you know. And so, yeah, absolutely. The first time you go, stay at the back of the class if that's where you're comfortable. That's fine, you know. I think one thing for me that's always really satisfying at Boom Cycle is I love watching the journey of people who kind of, especially at this time of year, this is January, and you're getting a lot of people coming in and
people
using,
that would never normally
who
come.
Who would never normally come, and they're using the facility for the first time. And I've been teaching there 6 years, so I've seen, you know, a lot of people, and many of my riders have been riding with me for virtually all of that time. And it's really nice when I see people who are kind of these perpetual back row warriors slowly but surely inch their way up to the front. It's really fantastic to see that, because that means the mentality part of it is kicking in for them. You know, the change in mindset is coming, where that confidence is coming for them. And that's all I really want for them. And I will say, you know, I've in all my years teaching there, I've really noticed a shift in that, you know, now I never get people coming to me and saying, you know, I'm looking to lose a couple pounds or that's not what the focus is anymore.
It's
people,
fitness.
It's fitness and it's mental health, actually, more than anything else, I'd say. You know, like really dealing with stress or depression, anxiety, you know, all these conditions of like just our modern crazy world.
Yeah.
People really just want the escapism, and they want that kind of 45 minutes of just primal movement sweat.
I've only done it about once. It was a bit like going to a nightclub, but kind of more, you sweated more.
That's a great description. It's pretty much what it is. And we've designed it very much to be that way.
What about levels, though? Because say if I went, I'd be very kind of, I'd be like beginners. How do you kind of decide how fast or slow you want to go?
Decide that for yourself, you know. And again, we're really adamant about that at Boom Cycle, especially. For new riders, I always kind of make sure I give them, you know, a bit of a debrief beforehand and say, this is what's going to happen. Because I think a lot of people, that's another thing.
People don't know.
And it's all a bit scary and intimidating, you know, if you're just really unsure of what's going to happen. So this is what we're going to do. You're in complete control of your bike and how much resistance you add, etc. Just get used to the bike. Get used to the resistance.
So you could even just do it on the lowest gear or whatever, just for the whole thing.
While you get used to it. Yeah. And I will say, you know, another thing, a bit of a barrier or something that comes up for people a lot in fitness is, we all want to be expert level immediately.
Yes, we do.
You know, we've got no patience for the journey of getting good at something. Yeah. And so everybody comes in and I do understand that. You know, you might be a CEO in your 9-to-5 day-to-day life. So to go to a fitness class where you're the beginner in the room who doesn't know what they're doing, that's a real difficult thing to get your head around, right? If you're used to being the head honcho where you're at, to have the strength of vulnerability to go to that place and be like, I don't know what I'm doing. That's a vulnerable place for anybody. But it's about having that patience with yourself, you know, of like, you know, it's going to take me some time to get good at this. You know, as an example, I went to Colombia a couple of years ago and ended up at this salsa club one night, completely fell in love with salsa dancing. Got back to London and was like, right, I'm Googling salsa classes, found some near me, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go salsa. So obviously in my mind, I just want to be, you know, top level immediately. So I'd been a dancer when I was younger, but more like contemporary dance and things. Yeah. So, I know how to move, but I've never done salsa before, right? So this is something completely different for me. And again, I'm the head honcho where I work, right? I'm the master trainer. I train everybody else. I'm very good at the spin thing. Very good at that. So to go to a space where I'm like, okay, this is going to be...
They're really good.
A bit, they're really good. And this is actually going to be quite tough.
Yeah.
And so the first few weeks, I really battled with that until about 6 weeks in, I was like, do you know what? I've got to accept that I'm just going to be rubbish at this for a little bit. And I have to be okay with that, because every single person here started somewhere. They all had a first class, you know. They all had this moment of feeling like, oh, I've got two left feet. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do these spins. Every single person in that room, regardless of level, has had that feeling at some point. And so it's about humbling yourself enough to just be willing to go on that ride and be like, I'm a little bit rubbish now. Cool. But I'm just going to keep chipping away at it until I get good at it, you know? And I'm going to enjoy that ride of seeing myself improve. So again, it's down to mindset and just being okay with, like, I'm not going to be an expert
okay,
on class
one. Okay, so we've started and we're going to the classes. What happens if you are, like, I went to a gym, my gym last week, and I met this woman, you know, personal trainer, and she gave me such strong weights that I was... for 2 days afterwards, I had tons of adrenaline. On the third day, I couldn't hardly, I was like down. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was, and you know, she'd given me much too high weights. How do you deal with feeling bad, you know what I mean, after you've exercised? Because sometimes you do push too hard.
Physically feeling bad.
Yeah,
it's about just awareness of that, of what's happening with your body. And I think that comes with time as well. The more you get into fitness and the more you find your thing, the more you start to understand your own body and what's going on with that, right? And so I think it's a sign, like I'll say now, I know when I legitimately need to rest compared to when I'm being lazy.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell the difference with that now. Mm. And I know the difference now between a slight muscle ache and something that may potentially be an injury that I need to get looked into.
Mm-hmm.
But I only know that through, you know, doing this a while and moving my body often enough to know that. And so it's just kind of being prepared for that. If you know you're leveling it up a little bit at the gym, if you're going to try heavier weights.
Yeah.
So if you're going to try heavier weights, your body's got to adjust to that too, yeah. Right?
I think she should have built me up.
Yeah, she just went too much too soon. Yeah. Mm. And so again, that's you learning, okay, that's your body telling you, whoa, 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 slow down, you know?
Yeah.
So you've got to listen to that. Mm. So next time you go, maybe come down a little bit on those weights and your body will still hurt. Even if you go up like just a couple of pounds in the weights or a couple of kilos, your body will notice that difference. So there'll still be an ache there, most likely. But that's like a good ache, you know, of kind of, that's your body saying, all right, cool, I've got it. Okay, I see what you're trying to do. I'm going to match you. But it's just getting used to that. But if it's to the point where you just literally can't move, you've done too much, right? So you've got to kind of just paying attention, basically.
So let's talk about the book. How's it set out and how have you divided it up and how are you motivating people through it?
So I've divided it up into six sections. There's 10 short chapters in each section. What I envision it is for people to just kind of have it. It's small enough. As you can see, you can quite literally almost fit it in your pocket. And I kind of just envision people kind of chucking it in their gym bag or carrying it around with them for when they need a bit of a boost. So it kind of separates out into different sections. So the first 10 chapters is all about kind of what it takes to get started. So buying yourself some nice kit, making a good playlist that you can listen to, those kind of things to get you in the right kind of frame of mind to get out there. I've got another section on what happens when your motivation dwindles. What do we do there? We've got 10 chapters on that. The final 10 chapters are just kind of pep talks. So, you know, if you're just kind of not feeling like you want to work out, just flip to the back of the book and check in with one of those. So it's obviously it can be read sequentially, but I kind of designed it so that you can just dip in where you need it at that particular time, you know. And I think, as you were saying in your intro, everybody does need a bit of a pocket cheerleader at times. You know, even the fittest person is going to have days where they feel like they don't want to train, you know. So that's what I think I like about the book, is that it does kind of, anybody at any level will need that at some point, like a bit of a boost at some point along their journey.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
Oh, my pleasure.
Is there anything else you want to say that you when you came here thinking, I've got to say this?
Please buy my book. Yeah. That's my message of the day. No, mainly just, you know, this is a real passion project for me, and I just believe in movement so much and the power of what it can do for people. And I've really kind of made it my life's work. It's a joy for me to be able to do it every day and to see other people kind of infected with that joy also. I just obviously buy my book, but just know that I'm always cheering for people, you know, and I hope that if you feel like you don't have someone who can cheer you on in your fitness journey, please buy my book and I will be that cheerleader for you.
Fantastic. So The Pocket Cheerleader by Bangs Carey Campbell is published by Unbound. Thank you so much for coming on.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me. Thank you.